Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 11/22/2016. A couple of days before Thanksgiving. I guess this will come out a day before Thanksgiving, and want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Hopefully it will come out. Last week we had quite the snafu. That was ugly. That computer.
Yes, and then you had a sniffle flu, snafu.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a word. I couldn't construct that properly. And so now you're sick.
Now I'm sick. And going out with Curry last night didn't help.
Oh, well, whose idea was that, I wonder?
Well, we had a good time. He came down. You know, Adam Curry came down. He was down here for a few days, and since we sent you some pictures. He was down with his girlfriend, Tina. We took the boat out, went for some dinner, had some martinis. One very nice evening. Next stop, yeah. By the way, we've decided. The hospital. Petaluma.
Petaluma.
We're coming.
Yeah.
We're coming.
Yeah, go knock yourself out. All right.
Anyway, let's
go. We have a lot to catch up on because the last show was all we had was notes.
Yeah, bust. So we're going to talk about some of that and some other things. Let's get to the upset of the election. I mean, this a week ago, it was still very fresh in everybody's mind that, oh my God, how did this happen? It wasn't supposed to happen like this. And the market was supposed to go down and it didn't go down. And, you know, it did go down overnight like you projected. And then it turned around 100%. It's been up every day since. Dow Jones was down 800 points at one point, and then it surged. It closed above 19,000 today. The S&P closed above 2,200. We had that crazy rotation go on. So what was working last year, like your large cap tech, your bonds, utilities, it all of a sudden stopped working, like on a dime. It just, the election happened, no longer those good. Infrastructure is working out well. Things like building equipment, materials, U.S. Steel, United Rentals, biotechs, because, well, Hillary Clinton is no longer going to be pointing the finger and have any kind of control to try to bust up the biotech companies. There's a kind of a crazy rotation going on right now where even the large caps are doing okay, but the small caps are up like 12% since the election. I think U.S. Steel is up 50% since the election.
Yeah.
It was like 2 weeks ago, which I'll probably put that on the list for a short. But we're at all-time highs, almost on a daily basis now. And I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, everything was, you know, right before the election, oh my God, we have all these string of terrible things, and all of a sudden, everybody's all happy now. I don't know. What do you think about this whole thing? Do you think the Trump economic policies that he's been talking about are something that really should be looked at as a majorly powerful backdrop for a rally for the markets?
Well, I think the lowering the taxes might be. It might encourage things to pick up. I think keeping some companies in the United States as opposed to letting them roam off to the globalized, you know, Mexico or some, you know, China, I think might help a little bit, keep people to get some more money to circulate in this country. It's a possibility, but I think it's a little premature. Yeah. That's the problem I'm having with this rally.
Yeah, it's like usually markets are, what, 6 months ahead of the curve, something like that?
Yeah.
This is like a year and a half. And we don't even know what the real regulations are.
Exactly.
You know, so it's all speculation right now. Already he's turning, well, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, but he's kind of doing an about face on a variety of things already. You know, the wall, we talked about this. Well, maybe it's not a wall.
Yeah, the wall.
Maybe it's not a wall. Maybe it's a concept.
No, he's got to build the wall.
I don't know about this.
People voted for him for the wall. Let's build the wall. He was a big builder, big shot. I'm a builder. I build walls. I know how to build. I know how to build walls, and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
He's got to stick to that. That's his big thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to weasel out of it and say something like, well, when I said wall, you know, we talked about this. When I said wall, it's kind of like an imaginary wall. We're not going to have people going out.
We know what he meant. He's talking about big wall, a big. No, he's not going to get away with that.
Yeah. And also, remember how he's going, you know, the first thing he's going to do as president was he was going to hire or appoint a special prosecutor to go after Hillary Clinton, right? No.
Yeah.
Now he says,
well, that's wishful. That was always wishful thinking.
Yeah, he was pretty clear about that, too. But anyway.
Yeah, not as much as he was about the wall.
Yeah, the wall is definitely.
Get it. He used to go on these, and when he, you know, he gave millions of speeches. It was astonishing how hardworking he is.
Yeah.
And he got to the point where it was call and response at one of the big rallies with the wall. He would say, we're going to build a wall, a great wall. And he says, and then he'd like have the microphone in his hand and say, then he'd yell at the audience, and who's going to pay for it? And he'd stick the mic out and the audience would yell Mexico.
Oh, boy. All he needs to do is start swinging it around the microphone on its cord, you know, and put his hand up to his ear. What are we going to build? A wall. Who's going to pay for it? Mexico. The whole thing's ridiculous.
So he's going to have to build a wall. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'll wait to see it. Let me give you some interesting observations on this whole issue of markets. And there's a few things I wanted to talk about. So 2015, it was a year when the U.S. or domestic-based investing was dominant. As a matter of fact, if you looked at a portfolio that was well-diversified, if it didn't have a very high level of the of U.S. stocks, it was no good. It was just no good at all.
Right.
This year, especially in the beginning of the year, everything turned around. All of a sudden, there was this real advantage to being diversified because bonds were starting to kind of come down a little bit, but commodities started working out real well. Treasury inflation protected securities did real well. Emerging markets and international markets did a lot better. Now, since the election, where the dollar is at a 13.5-year high now at 101, that's all changing. Because if you go from a 95 on the dollar to a 100 on the dollar, 5%, let's say, and you have just 2% performance on the other side, well, you may be actually lost 3% over the last few weeks in the international.
Right.
So kind of a crazy thing. We may be back to, once again, the hope that a diversified portfolio would have worked, but just because of currencies, it's killing it.
Yeah, the currency thing. How are we doing, by the way? We're at $1.06. It really hasn't changed that much. I think people keep talking about the dollar.
The dollar across the basket when you talk about the yen and all. This is not included in the dollar calculation, but the Chinese yuan is inching lower day by day. You know, they're trying their best right now everywhere else to feed on the fact that the dollar is strong because we're potentially having a rate hike. Right now, there's a 95% probability of a rate hike in December.
Right. Everybody thinks there's going to be one, so there will be.
Right. And it's funny, you know, what's leading what? Is it the Fed that leads or is it the Fed that goes along with? And it seems that whenever the Fed funds probability was over 75%, it is almost like an automatic rate hike by the Fed,
right?
Because it's already, priced into the market, so they have nothing to lose. You don't have to worry about making a bad move. But we have at least one, and the other thing is the Fed has been talking pretty openly about how, with these new infrastructure spends and lower taxes and potentially bringing home money and all the things you mentioned earlier, that their job may be a lot easier. They won't have to be the only ones. They said something like, we won't have to be the only ones to be fighting this big fight, you know, the good fight, because they're so important, the Fed. They've made themselves so important. So ridiculous. I had somebody on the Disciplined Investor podcast 2 weeks ago. And she was an insider for a while over at the Fed. And she said, they don't know what they're doing. It's like, seriously, she said it's like they throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks and then hopefully run with it.
Yeah.
That's how it operates, you know? And their economic models are just as flawed as anyone else's.
So I don't see why they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would be better at what they're doing.
And they were always wrong with their forecast.
I was just looking at the dollar thing. I didn't realize that the yen is up to $1.11.
Yep.
And the pound's down to $1.24. That's fantastic. I got to go to London or something. Go buy some something.
Yeah, London's the place to go. I mean, it's still expensive, but just less expensive.
Yeah, well, it's a lot less expensive at $1.24 than it is at $1.65.
Yeah, that was a lot. So I thought before we go on, I just want to mention something. The end of the year is approaching. A couple things that are happening. Number one, we have the big close to the pin competition that will be all the winners of this year's close to the pin, which we have a lot of. Will be entitled to be a part of this. So if you're a winner, and I don't mean to say the other people are losers, but you know if you're a loser, the winners will be getting an email and tell you exactly how to register and what to do, where to go, because only those people are eligible. So we have to lock it down so that not someone who didn't win isn't going to be able to play this game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like an invitational.
Right, exactly. So,
or it's like the chase. It's like the NASCAR chase.
Oh, how's that work?
Well, they do it, only there's a little more elaborate. Well, they changed it over the years. NASCAR has these different ways of winning the championship, and they changed it to this chase format where you have to win a lot. So they have 16 guys going off, and then the top eight of those guys go to the next round, and the top four go to the next round, and the guy who wins that last race wins the whole thing.
Well, it's going to be like that, and you can follow along now before we go to that.
Yeah.
I thought the end of the year would be nice to combine a lot of the good-hearted nature of our listeners. You know, what do they like about DH Unplugged? What do they like about listening to the show? What do they, you know, enjoy? So what I did was I said, you know what? And you and I talked about this. Why don't we ask them? So we put a form on.
So we're going to get.
Yeah, good.
This is a cheap way of getting testimonials.
Exactly.
Not to bust you, but that's what you're doing.
So on the show notes.
That's a good thing. We need to get some testimonials for our upcoming ad campaign.
Yeah, the big one, the big ad campaign that's coming. The form, it's very quick. Just, you know, pop your name and email in there and why you listen. And we'll actually read that off at the year-end show. Well, a lot of these.
Okay.
And so just go over to DH Plug, this show notes of this episode, click down, and what episode is this? 338. And then you can pop that in there. But the other thing I want to mention to you is, before we get any further, I got some ideas for prizes for the Close to the Pin Invitational, the CTP Cup for the end of the year. So you want to hear some of them?
Yeah.
All right, well, I can give a dozen Horowitz & Company golf balls. It's nice.
You have golf balls with your name on them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course we do. We have to have golf balls. You know, any financial advisor worth their weight has to have golf balls.
Yes, you have to have cool golf balls.
Yeah, you have to have golf balls.
Now, don't you get some of those orange ones or some of those green ones? I think green book people should play with the well, no, not green because it's like yellow, orange,
yellow fluorescent.
Yellow fluorescent would be good.
Yeah,
do they make those?
Yeah, they make them. If anybody uses them, you know to go to the other tee. It's usually the bad players.
Yeah,
it's because they can't, it's easily seen.
Well, you know, tennis balls used to be white.
But wasn't it a problem at Wimbledon? Oh, no. Wimbledon was the white tennis balls, right? Or were they the problem?
All tennis balls were white.
Oh. What happened?
Somebody decided it would be better if they were day glow green. In fact, Charlie Finley, I don't want to go astray. Charlie Finley, the experimental owner of the Oakland A's, tried to get American League Baseball to adopt the same color baseball so it would reduce head injuries.
Oh. That's funny. Why, they could see it coming?
Well, apparently you can see that color very easily.
Oh. All right, so we also have a signed disciplined investor book. We have the DH Unplugged collector t-shirt. Of course, the official winner certificate. I was thinking about a $25 gift certificate to Shake Shack. How's that a good one?
Yeah. No.
Anyway, no good. Anyway, we'll have some more things. Well, I think your book, your digital book, we'll give away.
Oh, yeah, digital book. Well, I better get on it.
Oh, you have something you've written.
I think I got to get this one digital book out about the economy, about the cycles, because this thing isn't going to hold up, I don't think, past this next summer.
Don't forget, now, since you've been working on this for so long, you could say, I worked on this book for 5 years.
I could say that.
Right?
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's a fact. The one funny thing, you know, I was looking at back at these little cities and the problems. Did you know Portland, Oregon is, for all practical purposes, broke?
Really?
Yeah.
What's the problem? The pensions?
They spend more than they take in.
Well, naturally. But on what? Is it the pensions? Or is it just they have great clean streets? Or what? They don't take
it. They don't.
None of that, huh?
I don't know what they're doing. That's makes it. I don't know. I have no idea. I was going through this thing. It's called Rank. Is it called GovRank? I think it's called GovRank.com, G-O-V Rank. And it has all the cities and states and everything ranked in terms of their financials. And it's a fascinating read. And you can look at you can look up your city and you can look up other cities and compare yours to someplace like some of these horrible places. I think some of the worst is Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, well, because there's always been a problem there. I mean, that's why they didn't have the money to, you know, do the infrastructure bill to fix their water and all that. There's all the problems with that.
Yeah.
What's the site called?
I think it's called GovRank or RankGov. I think it's one of the two.
RankGov.com, RankGov.gov.
Oh, no, it's RankGov.com. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to figure it out. Well, I'll get the exact name for this thing.
And I'm sure if someone
just discovered it recently. Somebody can figure it out. Yeah.
All right, here a couple of other things that I want to talk to you about. By the way, have you noticed the incredible amount of news coverage of Donald Trump on everywhere? Like every headline is Trump, blah, blah, blah. Trump, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Trump stumbled. Trump stubbed his toe.
Right.
Trump is having a gay relationship with Steve Bannon. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another.
That's a horrible thought. That's a horrible thought. Well, here, maybe that could be true with this next part. It's possible if you think about this. He said that the future first lady, Melanoma Trump. What was her name? Melania.
Melania. Melanoma. Curiously, I have not heard that joke before.
You haven't? No. I was trying to be funny. I just couldn't pronounce it right there. And the 10-year-old son, Barron, will remain in New York after he becomes president. So I guess he's going to be finishing the school year and they're going to be living there, which only means another incredible amount of money to protect them and to protect him. What's interesting here, I just found out today, his property in Florida, the Mar-a-Lago up in Palm Beach. I just found out today, since we're boaters, I don't go up that way on the Intercoastal, but if you want to go on the Intercoastal over this weekend he's going to be there for Thanksgiving, you have to first not stop as you're passing. Second, be prepared to be boarded by the Coast Guard and police. Three, request permission to pass on your VHF prior to going through the Intercoastal area.
Huh.
It's like all cordoned off.
Well, that's convenient for you guys.
Yeah, but what about what's going on in New York? Do you see the incredible amount of security in New York and what that is doing to traffic?
Yeah, but think of the overtime.
Oh, yeah, well. And here's something interesting. We kind of talked about some of these things last week. Let's see, did we talk? Oh, yeah. Last week when they didn't hear what we talked about, it seemed that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were campaigning and they're flying around the country. And as they fly around the country, the government, you and I, pay for the Secret Service to be on the planes and to protect them and their hotels and all that, right? That sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now what happens is that the money that was paid to Hillary Clinton was paid to charter aircraft companies for the amount that the Secret Service, their collective share. But the money that was paid for Donald Trump for his Secret Service was paid to his own charter aircraft company because he owned the planes.
Yeah, that's great.
And he made $6 million. Well, his companies were paid $6 million for schlepping him around during the campaigns.
Jeez.
Now, this goes right into the other issue, which is that came out today, that talks about how he said that, you know, why is everybody worried about this conflict of interest? Why is everybody worried about this whole issue of a blind pool? Remember this whole thing where he possibly...
Blind trust.
A blind trust, right. He says, there was a lot of questions about this. Now, when he was asked about potential business conflicts during an interview with the New York Times, he said, the law is totally on my side. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this law is that the federal law exempts presidents. I'm going to read this carefully. It exempts presidents and vice presidents from rules that ban officials from using their positions to further their personal interests. And this was an exception crafted out of the belief that presidents shouldn't have to worry about triggering ethics probes when making hard decisions.
Right.
So how he...
The Congress is under the same rules, so they can do all kinds of insider investments. So they can like work on a law that they're going to pass, and then they go and invest in the companies before the law is passed, and then they pass the law, and the company's price goes up, and they're fine. It's fine for them to do that. They just have to register their what they're going to do. But that is not a public record. It's a record they keep. You can go see the record, but they don't put it on the web or anything.
Naturally. So under this circumstance, it seems that he may be able to do all sorts of things and make all... It would seem to me, from what I could see already, Donald Trump is going to come out of this whole deal a major winner.
Well, here's the stickler that they're trying to push through. This is a good one. This just came out, I think, yesterday. The only thing you, as a president, you can't do is you cannot take money from foreign governments.
Okay. Yeah.
Or foreigners, for that matter. You can't, like, the sheik, you know, of some Arab emirate can't just, here's $1 billion. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And they can try, but they can't. You know, it's not legal. So somebody, some guy, and I don't know what state he's in, is one of these douchebag guys, and he's going to sue the president because Trump has properties overseas. Right. He's got like 50 properties. He's got properties, and recently he opened that golf course up. Now, they're arguing that because these are foreign people, these are foreigners and foreign executives that are giving money to his organization overseas, that's money to him in some way, and that's illegal completely.
I mean, what if...
I know it's a bit of a stretch.
What if some guy, the sheik, comes to a U.S. hotel and rents out the top floor for a month, and let's just say it's $5 million? Is Donald Trump then accepting money from overseas interests?
Yeah. According to this guy.
Right. Well, I would venture to say that there's a lot of potential problems. I mean, what happens if Obama went and played golf in Korea and they didn't do a splitsies? The Koreans paid for his golf.
I think that would probably be, by this measurement, would also be illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of conflict in this whole thing, and it seems to me to be pretty serious, but Donald Trump doesn't think that it is. But it would also seem to me that by using his hotels and his various entertainment properties and enterprises, that there's a lot of people that will want to, you know, host conventions and do all sorts of things with his properties. And I don't know. The whole thing seems a little weird.
We'll see.
Yeah. Now, Mark Hulbert, he's a pretty well-known newsletter writer. Oftentimes he writes, he's like the newsletter, he's like the newsletter of newsletters. Can you imagine that? And he put up an interesting chart tonight. And he said, this chart, which you can find over on DH Unplugged, just on the show notes here. He says, depending on which of six widely used valuation measures for the markets, the market currently is more overvalued than it was at between 79 and 95% of the three dozen bull market caps top since 1900. Take a look at this chart.
I'm looking at it.
So if you look at PE ratio.
Now, this is the percent of overvaluation.
Yeah, it seems. Does that mean it's 90%?
So zero is the baseline.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Does that mean it's double?
Well, I don't know what this means. So it's a meaningless chart, I guess.
Let's read it. Current stock market, I have some concern over this too. Current stock market is more overvalued than it was at this percent of the past century's bull market peaks.
That doesn't make sense to me. What does that mean?
I think the value, I'll give you an example. Let's look at one look at the price to sales. That's close enough to 100, right?
Yes, almost.
So at the average bull market peak, the current market is 100% of the price to sales of that. In other words, it's valued the same level on average that we've seen all bull market peaks in the past. Let's just cut through it. What he's trying to say is market is very expensive at this point, any way you want to look at it, according to what he sees.
So what he's saying here is that if we're going to take the bull market peak, which means that like it was at the peak, it's some big number. Right now, where everything sits is pretty close to that number.
On valuations, on fundamental valuations.
Yeah, on fundamental. So in other words, the price sales is pretty much what it would be at a bull market peak.
Yeah.
So what he's implying is that these numbers are, we don't have too much further to go before we hit a peak.
Correct. He's saying that we're tapped out.
This looks like 10 points to go on most of these things.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, he's saying that we're really close to that point. Anyway, whatever.
10%, we don't need to go up 10. So with the market
the market doesn't have to go up 10%. It's we're 98% or 90% of the highest high.
Right, but isn't that still a reflection of the market to get PE ratio? The PE ratio is going to be based on the price of the stock.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be exact.
No, I think it would follow suit.
Yeah.
So we're 10%. So your price earnings ratio, okay. I think I know. I get it now. I think a little bit.
But it's a little bit confusing. I read the whole article. There's a link there to the whole article itself.
But if everything starts, if income and revenue skyrocket, all these little bar charts go down.
Right.
If the market stays the same.
Right. Exactly.
So this looks like just bogus. Like, let's dream up some bar charts that look funny. Nah.
Yeah. No, I was.
Here's the question to you: when's the market gonna hit 20,000?
It seems like it could be Christmas. At this pace.
Is it going to keep going up, or do you think it's going to turn around? This is crazy. This market is not.
I find it to be very expensive. This market, I find it's expensive right now. We're seeing a lot of valuation alerts go off. We're seeing technical alerts go off, like that you're at extreme levels. That doesn't mean it can't go on further, but you're starting to see almost like a giddiness and almost. I'm getting the feeling that people are like, you know what? This guy Trump, he ain't going to let the market drop. He's going to do whatever he can to make the money for himself. Because I've been seeing this. It's what the feeling I'm getting. That he's all about, you know what? Let's just pour it all in and make money like crazy for everybody. Let's just bathe in the money.
That's kind of what he promised.
That's what I'm trying to say. And I think that everybody thinks, you know what? I'm not going to fight this. Let's get in. What the hell? You know, I mean, let's party.
Yeah, let's get on the roller coaster while it's moving.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm not going to be the last guy sitting out of this crowd, you know. Anyway, oil.
I think people, if I think smart money right now is positioning, because there's going to have to be a correction.
I would think so.
A Trump correction.
I would think so.
I would hope. But I think smart money should be sitting on the sidelines looking for shorts.
There are definitely some shorts, and I got one for the game today.
Oh, good.
Oil could be a short because we've seen that the OPEC cannot seem to get any kind of agreement or consensus. And what the interesting thing is that I think it's November 30th. They're supposed to be going to have their meeting, you know, and they're going to decide on production cuts. And Iran's like, well, I don't think so. And then they're like, oh yeah, we're interested. And then Russia says, well, we're definitely a part of this. And they're like, oh, we're going to keep on pumping. And anyway, now we have oil at 48. It was at 42 for a while.
Now it's too high.
Yeah, it's too high. We'll see what happens in the next few days. We got the API numbers came out tonight. Tomorrow we'll see the DOE. And then I think it's the end of the month. We're going to see the oil OPEC come out. Do you think OPEC will actually, from everything that I've read and every analysis that I've seen and what I've looked at to put it all together, it seems to me that there is almost like just a general impossible notion that OPEC can actually cut production or they ever would be willing to. I mean, we've talked this to, we beat this horse pretty bad, but I don't think they're going to cut.
I don't think so either. I don't think they can do it. I think it's just beyond their capability. Yep. Ever since Saudi Arabia made the decision, we've talked about it on the show a dozen times at least, that they're never going to cut because they lost market share in the 70s when they cut and they didn't like it.
Yep.
And so they just assume they think market share is more important than price. So if that's the case, they're not going to stop pumping ever.
You got a pee popper.
Am I popping my pee? Popping?
You have a pee popper?
I do have one. I just like may move it away from me a little bit.
Yeah. Here we go. Banks have been a major winner.
I hate that. I hate the pee popping.
Banks have been a major winner since the election. There's a chart here. Check this out. This is actually
the banks.
Unbelievable. This is Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley. Look at this. This is since the election. Oh, man, this voice is terrible.
Well, you know, you'd think that these bankers would go in the other direction because Hillary did. Well, I guess Trump delivered more than Hillary could have.
Well, you know what happened? The dollar went up, and more importantly, the yield curve, the 10-year and the long bonds really opened up compared to the short bonds, and that yield spread helped the banks incredibly because now they're lending still or they're taking in money at the short end. So they're saying, okay, we'll give you, I'm just giving you a number here. This is an example, 1%, but they're lending out at 4 to 5. Whereas before they were giving out 1%, they were only lending at 3. They just made themselves 2 points of profit.
Well, they could have always done that.
No, they can't. They couldn't do that because the yield curves were not there. Mm. I mean, they could have done it, but you know, who's going to do it first?
Well, that's
true. You have to be competitive.
Okay, well, good for the banks. They get to make some money like they never have done before. Bring back Sarbanes-Oxley. Oh, not Sarbanes. Yeah, Sarbanes-Oxley. Whatever happened to that? Bring back Glass-Steagall.
And get rid of Dodd-Frank.
Well, they got that thing sticks.
Now, Goldman Sachs, by the way, speaking of this whole thing about when this Trump rally will end, if this Trump rally will end, I think it's going to end bad. Let me just go on record here. And I can say this because you could never identify my voice in the future as the guy saying this.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. So that's not Horowitz. You know what? Last night with Curry, and he goes, we talk on the phone and stuff, and he listens to the podcast. Last time I saw him, we figured out it was in London. We got together in London in like 2003. Or, yeah, 2003 or so. So he says to me, he goes, something's bothering me. He goes, what? He goes, I go, well, what's going on? He goes, you sound a lot different when I'm with you now than on the phone and on the podcast. What's going on? Doesn't even sound like you. I'm thinking to myself, dude, my voice, I don't have a voice. I told you. he thought there was some kind of weird thing over the recording or something. I don't know what's going on.
You should have told him. No, you should have let him think that.
I should have. Oh, yeah.
You should have told me using you've been using a Bakersfield filter.
Yeah, and with a reverse flanger.
With a reverse flange on it, and it's been making your voice sound a lot better because this is what you sound like. Yeah, you sound crappy. If I sounded like this, you would say, if I sounded like this on the radio, I wouldn't do radio, so I have to use the Bakersfield. Right. It works fine.
And what's amazing about it is when my voice cuts out, it has this magical thing which fills it in. Oh, gosh. We had some good Oysters last night. They're East Coast, though, not West Coast.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, especially lower East Coast oysters.
No, these were all upper. These were all Rhode Island,
New
Hampshire.
Oh, they're all
Canada? Rhode Island, New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, those are delicious.
Yeah, those were good. And Maine.
They have a lot of oysters native to Florida and that area. They're just mushy.
Isn't that the Apalachicola? No, that's the, not the Apalachicola. They're mushy and they're big.
Yeah, they're big and mushy.
And smelly.
Yeah, they're no good.
Not the combo I want in my...
The ones you want are all actually Canada, around the Canadian American borders, yep, where all the great oysters are.
And the
are.
Komodos, where are those? Those are from up north there too, isn't it?
Yeah, they're up there. It's just a different variety.
Now, when you eat oysters, do you use the cocktail sauce and lemon, let's say, or do you use the shallot vinegar?
I use the shallot sauce. Yeah. That's the one I make.
So much better. So much better. And we had, by the way, we had stone crabs this weekend.
That's nice. Yeah, you can't get those at all on the West Coast.
I went out for an all-you-can-eat stone crab. You know how many stone crabs I ate? Sick. How many pounds I ate?
Two.
Eight.
Oh, yeah, but it's all shell.
I ate 8 pounds of them, though. That was like 40 claws.
40 claws.
I was so sick. But they were delicious. But I do that once a year. You know, I have stone crabs once a year.
You binge on stone crab.
And how much that cost for an all-you-can-eat stone crab dinner?
$100?
Yeah, it was $105. It was worth it. There's a chart here
You have to be really hungry. I'm not that hungry in the evenings, and it's like I'd get gypped. I wouldn't get $105 worth of it.
Well, I was like, I'm like the Joey. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, Joey.
You know what I'm talking about from the
hot dog
eating contest?
Yeah.
Joey.
Yeah, what is his name?
Not Joey.
He's got a crazy
Joey
name.
Joey Pizza? Joey.
It's Joey something.
Joey Hamburger or something like that? Joey Frank?
Yeah, anyway, go on.
Anyway, I'm like him of the stone crabs. I could crack them real fast and open them up and get them going. Everybody's their first plate. I'm on
your speed eating you're.
Oh, yeah. You know, you eat them quickly. I mean, it's the only way they're good. If it's just, you have a constant mouthful of them for like an hour, you know?
This is not an image. It's like, wow. I thought.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not like eating with a mouthful and drinking a bunch of water and stuffing it down my throat like they do in the hot dog eating contests.
No, where they have to.
Yeah. And they kind of dip their hot dogs.
You got to do that to break up the doughy bun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only for the bun.
Yeah. So there's a chart on here on the website that shows the U.S. dollar surge. But I want to talk about two things. I want to think about it first, I guess. All right. I'm gonna ask you a question. There's a company out there. While it's still in the exploration phase, they are creating a new device that will wirelessly connect to a smartphone, show images and other information in the wearer's field of vision.
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut, yes. That's that. And that's what this is, yes. And may use augmented reality. What company is creating these new devices?
Microsoft.
Nope. And does it sound,
Amazon.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
It's a Google Glass. Apple's coming
out. Oh, yes, right. Google Glass. It's the same old Google Glass it was before.
And Apple's doing it. This is a design by Apple. Until such time as Apple says they are no longer pursuing this interest, like they did with the cars, and now they did with...
We never even get to see a car before they did that.
Right. Maybe if you buy the glasses, you'll be able to see a augmented reality version of it.
Of the car.
Virtual reality. Wait, did I tell you on last week's show that I actually tried the Facebook's Oculus Rift?
No, no.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I tried it some time ago.
That's cool. I played some basketball. I thought it was interesting. I wouldn't buy one.
You're playing basketball?
Yeah, there was a basketball game.
Oh, did you get to do anything? I found it just kind of disturbing when you take them off.
Oh, after it's on for a while, yes. And then it's like, oh, God, look at all these pale people.
No, no, that's not what the effect is, to me at least, was you're in this phony baloney environment. You're looking around. It's all very well done. Although I had an early beta version I was testing or looking at secretly, and it was kind of blurry. So it wasn't like I'm sure it could be really better than I was experiencing. But still, you get into this kind of, you know, kind of blurry world, and you can't really walk because it's like you. I think at some point you might be able to use more augmentation and less virtual reality. But you take the glasses off and all of a sudden you're just disoriented.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because everything's moving around with you and all that. But, you know, and so it depends on the game. So my game, this basketball game that I was playing, was basically you pick a ball up, you shoot it in the hoop. So nothing was really moving on me. Whereas some of the games, things are moving around you. And that's where you get very disoriented. All right, I got to talk about something here. This is probably one of the most fascinating trades I've seen in a while. I talked about, we talked about this, the whole small caps moving up like 10-11% recently, right?
Yeah.
But there's also the micro craps, I call them.
Yeah, those are the penny stocks.
Yeah, the micro craps. Now, you should really look at a chart on this. There's a company called Dry Ships. Dry ships.
Oh, yeah, dry ships. I've heard of it.
Yeah, these are the shippers. The shippers have been, really not doing well for a long time. The rates have been coming down. Global slowdown overall on building and economics. All this stuff that we all know about. And the shippers have a lot of problems. They overbuilt again. You know, they're not getting their run rates. And many of the companies are having difficulty paying back any loans and things of that nature. Okay. On 11/10, what are we talking about?
What's the symbol?
DRYS.
It's even in here, not in the pinks.
Oh, it'll be in there. You'll see it. On 11/10, it was $5. About a week and a half later, well, what are we now? We're the 22nd now, so we're talking about the 10th. So about a week later, somehow magically, the stock got to 115. Five to 115.
Well, since it's sitting at $6.22 at the moment.
That's today. When I wrote this earlier today, it was at 9. It finished the day at 6. I'm telling you, this thing was crazy. Crazy.
Well, it would sound like a good short.
But you can't short. There's no shares. I got it on my screen right in front of me. It's got a red bar. There's no shares.
Yeah, this whole thing is when the 10 shares outstanding and somebody bought one and it went up to 100.
Well, that's what's interesting. So there's about a million shares outstanding. Now I started to look at this. There was a lot of similar things going on. A company called Diana Container Ships, symbol DCIX, up from $2 to $24, now at $5. I mean, I'll take a 2 to a 24 in a week, right?
Yeah.
So I did a screen and I found stocks that met certain criteria that was seemingly something was going on like went on with dry ships. First, there was a recent reverse split. Dry ships had a reverse split of 15 to 1 because obviously their share price was too low. Then I wanted to see how many shares were outstanding. Give me the smallest amount of shares outstanding in float so that if there was a short squeeze or if there was a move up, there's only a few shares out there. Like you said, 10 shares, move it up real quick. So I found all these ones with outstanding float with, and then I compared that to 30-day average and the percent of float short. So for example, on dry ships, there was a split on 11/1. A 15 to 1 reverse split. The shares outstanding were only now 1.1 million. where the average daily volume is 1.3 and 30% of the shares are held short. So now if you go down this list and you look at another company very similar, Top Ships, they had a 10-to-1 reverse split on February. 3.5 million shares outstanding, 1.14 average volume per day, 36% short. So I got all these, and you start watching these things have been all over the place, like crazy, crazy stocks because of their low float. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ocean Power Technologies, OPTT.
Do you think somebody's reverse engineered some computer stuff?
I don't know. Something's not right.
I bought
OPTT myself.
If you know what the triggering mechanisms are on some of these automated buy and sell systems,
yeah,
you should be able to rig it.
Well, I think this list, I'll send you this list. I highlighted the ones that also have a 30-day volume that was reasonable, not like, 6,000 shares a day, but a million.
They're doing a rundown on CNBC. Talking about some of these dry ship, Synergy. What was the name of that? I missed that one, damn it. Let me look back. Sea Energy Maritime, Golar LNG, Navios Maritime.
Yep. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You're watching CNBC now?
Here's what happened. I went to the Yahoo Finance to look at these, and it opened up a window and started playing CNBC.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about this subject because it's the subject I looked up. So they've got some new system on Yahoo Finance. I look up dry ships, and it starts playing me a CNBC clip about the shipping prices flying around.
That's weird.
Well, it's not weird. I think it's fantastic.
Well, maybe Yahoo will finally start making money.
Yeah, get it together just as they go broke.
Yep. Anyway, I'll send you this list. It's very interesting. I mean, one of these names I'm actually going to put in the game today for a buy. So we'll take a look at that after. All right, we talked about, close to the pin. We only have a few minutes left here.
How about the old fogies portfolio?
They caught up. They're only 2% behind now.
So they're even.
Well, they're not even. They're 2% behind.
The old fogies.
Yeah.
But they're moving in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yep. So, because of Trump.
Yeah.
A couple of things here. Let's see. A leaked document in the UK says there's no current plan for Brexit at this time. Of course, that was denied. Florida man is suing another attorney who seemingly shook his hand too hard in 2014. For squeezing it and saying that he is now in permanent pain.
You know, that reminds me of shaking hands with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, how was that?
I was at some event and Arnold Schwarzenegger was there. And this is before he ran for governor. And it was actually Benioff had a party of some sort for Salesforce. And he had Schwarzenegger come in. So Schwarzenegger went around and met everybody. It's funny, he's not as big as you think. He's big, though. He's wide. But he has the most gentle handshake.
Oh, wow.
But really? Not a dead fish.
Right.
It's firm. It's not, but I wouldn't even call it firm. I would call it cautious. Because I'm sure he had that problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he wanted to, he could just break your hand.
Hmm. Yeah, well, he's a big guy. We got to finish up a few things here. There's not much time. But we're going to leave a few of the other notes on here. Two things I'll make a note of. First, a not so happy thought on the way to Thanksgiving. It seems that at least 1 million tons of chemical weapons dumped in the world after the World War, after the various world wars, lie rusting on the ocean floor. Now, as the metals rust away, the toxic chemicals will be starting to be exposing and leaking out, threatening marine life around them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll let you know that.
Yeah, we're worried about global warming.
Yeah. The aloe vera gel that you buy over at, Target or Walmart doesn't have any aloe vera in it. finally, I found a new way to get rid of all of the dog videos and pictures on my Facebook feed.
Okay.
Whenever I get a post that has a dog picture or video or something like that, I let it go. The second one I get to, I turn Facebook off.
Why don't you report it?
That'll teach them. Well, yeah, I mean, report. If somebody's a nice person, they want to show their dog off,
I said, tell them that you, it's a trigger, they're triggering you. Oh, when you see dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm frightened of them. How can I not see the dogs? What are you writing for PC Magazine?
I just wrote one today. It was about piracy. It turns out the Australians had a report out that the pirates, people who are pirating movies and songs and whatever, it's gone down from 2015 to 2016 because there's more streaming services. And if there's more streaming services, people don't pirate. My theory is they only pirate because there's no other way to get the content. I still believe that's mostly true. But they found one other little aspect of this. The people who pirate a lot also buy more than the average person.
Nice.
Which brought me back to discussing Napster and reminding people that during the heyday of Napster, when piracy was wide open, during that period is when CD sales were the absolute highest and climbing. As soon as they shut down Napster, they started falling immediately and just kept falling.
Yeah, I think there's a little coincidence there.
No. I explained it in the column.
No, but I mean the technology went away from CDs.
No, no.
I love Napster.
Napster was allowing people to discover new music.
That was a good times. Good old days. All right, let's move along here. Let's talk a little bit now. Have you seen the stock list? And you got to see this because a lot of changes post-Trump. There's a game that we play each and every week. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. We're not telling you what to do. We're not telling you what not to do. We're not giving you suggestions. If you like anything we say, go see a professional financial advisor before you implement anything. If John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the positions, well, we will duly note that. And I'm going to note that right now, the one that I'm going to put on tonight, right there. All right. So you see all the yellow, which means they were taken out.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, because things went wildly around in circles right up until the election and then after the election. So the shorts got bumped. The longs kind of moved all over the place.
Yeah, so you like our whole portfolio was wiped out except for, I believe, Barclays. There's a couple left. I mean, Herbalife is still there, yep. And your short Lehman 20-plus bonds is still there. There's a couple left.
There's maybe 10 left.
I just picked on the show before. We didn't do the last show, but the show before that, Walgreens Boots Alliance, which was the CEO's buying.
Still alive?
Yes, no, he's still alive. It's up.
Yeah. So we closed out. Well, Barclays is up 44%. Netflix is closed for 27%. Biogen, you shorted up 8%, closed out. Shake Shack, I shorted, closed out up 18%. 20th Century Fox up 13%, still alive. That was a buy on your recommendation. Herbalife. Still short, up 13%. Icon is bluffing. TBT, that was the play. That was the, finally, we saw, the bonds start moving. The long end of the bonds. Let's see, Wells Fargo was closed. Nuveen was closed. Faster than I've seen anything closed for a while. And with the commentary, could be on forever.
Yes. It was the most ironic thing I've ever done. It went up for one show,
yep.
And then it drifted down, and it probably would be continuing forever.
Unbelievable. It was up to
it. Was too funny.
Let's see. Apple's still live. You're short up 2.2%. Kinder Morgan, you're up 9.7%.
I don't have any. I think Kinder Morgan's buy is a good idea, but I'm pretty sure my Apple short is not going to hold.
No? I don't know about that. I think a little bit of a turndown. I think they're going to hit those guys again.
Well, we'll see.
I think Trump is a negative thing for them.
Why, for Apple?
Yeah, because if they're going to force a repatriation.
He's not going to force repatriation. He's going to invite it.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay tax on it.
Yeah, but it's not going to. The tax is going to be a low amount.
Well, I got two things today real quick.
I never thought of it. How's it going to affect the books, though? That's an interesting point.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm stuck there anyway.
Well, I'm going to go short. It was up 12% again today. This is out of control, 55% since the election, U.S. Steel. I mean, unless we're going to be, I don't know what we're going to do. They're not the only game in town, number one. There's a glut of it on the market. Maybe we'll close the doors to everything outside of the U.S. to utilizing steel,
won't be able to do that till Trump gets in and finds the key.
Right. So, but I'm going to go short.
I think it's a good idea.
Ocean Power Technologies, possible Momo. No good?
There's another one of those things.
It's on this list. It's on the
Ocean
it's
on Power Technologies.
It's on my reverse split list with low, let's see. It's split in 15, a 10 to 1, 3 million shares outstanding, 2 million shares of daily average, and 23% of the float is short.
So you're doing a buy and you think it's going to reverse split?
No, it did reverse split already.
Oh, it did already.
This is like the ones we're talking about, like the dry ships and things like that. Now, this company.
Oh, okay. And it's at 350 after a reverse split. It's a dog.
Yeah. This company makes these giant buoys.
Yeah, I know what they are. That's bull crap.
All right. Well,
one good wave of the thing's falling.
All
we
need
apart.
Is a couple of good days here. That's all I'm looking
You're
for.
You're not going to get them.
All right. Maybe not. It's a game. What do you got?
Yeah. I got nothing. I was looking at a couple of things. I was looking at Archrock Partners because there's a bunch of people buying. I'm sorry. Archrock is buying a bunch of their own stock. So that never mind. Baker Brothers Advisors are buying something called this is a great name for a company. It's Chinese and it's called Beijing, but it's Beijing. Get it?
Yep.
It's a biotech. Mm-hmm. Beijing.
Oh, before I forget, Pepsi bought a company today. Why? For their kombucha formulary.
Short it.
I was in a place the other night. They're like, sir, would you like some kombucha? I'm like, no. Why don't you try the kombucha? It has a raspberry infused with whatever. I said, because I saw that thing. What do they call that thing again?
The mother.
Looks like a...
It's a mass of God knows what.
It's called a stegosaurus.
The problem, I'll tell you, one microbiologist makes it clear about what he thinks of this stuff.
Yeah.
He says if you can't duplicate it because it's an unknown bunch of goo that's just growing randomly, a little of this, a little of that, it's not trustworthy.
Right.
Pepsi's going to be sorry they did that. They should just... I don't know what to
Pepsi,
tell you.
The Pepsi Kombucha Challenge. Yuck. So anyway, I did taste the kombucha. It tasted like, I don't know what the hell it tasted like. It tasted like a...
Oh, you end up with a stomach ache. You shouldn't taste that stuff.
I just did a little bit. And then it tasted like ginger ale with obviously bacteria in it or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a nice glass of bacteria here.
Right. Exactly.
Bottoms up.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Okay, I'll buy some. I'll buy some of this Beijing. BGNE. The Baker brothers are buying it.
BGNE?
Yeah. Chinese.
The Baker brothers.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Baker brothers.
The ever famous Baker brothers. Who are these guys? The Baker brothers. Let's see. Beijing. Okay. Big fans of Bakers. Okay. And JCD. Okay, I got it in there.
All right, good.
All right, I'm going to wrap this up with a new system we have to produce these things and make sure it sounds good, aside from my voice, and I'll make sure to get some cold compresses.
Turn the Bakersfield filter on. The Bakersfield filter.
Oh, yeah, hold on a second. Yep, sounds good now. Thanks so much.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. Say hello to Minion, everybody. To
okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.